Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study the HaVtorah of Parshas Shemos. We read from Yeshaya chapter 27:6 to 27:13, and then skip to chapter 29 to finish with verses 22 and 23. Our HaVtorah spans sections from three chapters of Yeshaya, presenting three distinct concepts. In chapter 27, focus is on national suffering of the Jewish people and how we should perceive it, especially in comparison to the suffering of our enemies. The key message here is that our troubles are not the same as those of our oppressors. As stated in verse 27:7, did he strike him as he strike those who struck him? The suffering we endure is never intended as a punishment to harm us. Instead, it is a healing process, carefully measured and designed for our correction. Just like a surgeon's scalpel, Hashem uses these afflictions to address our spiritual deficiencies, performing surgery after surgery with the aim of our ultimate cure. And this chapter concludes with a beautiful prophecy in verse 27:13. V'haya b'yom ha'hu yitaka b'shofar gadol, uva'u ha'uvdim b'eretz ashor v'hanidachim b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'hishtachavu l'Hashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim. And it will be on that day the great shofar will be blown, and those who are lost in the land of Assyria, and those who are exiled in the land of Egypt will come and bow down to Hashem on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. This points to the eventual redemption of the Jewish people, where all those scattered across the world will return to Hashem and to his holy city. As we enter the first parsha of Sefer Shemos, recounting our painful exile and slavery in Egypt, this Haftorah reminds us that this painful chapter is only the beginning of our story. This book will lead to a beautiful, happy ending that awaits, one of redemption and salvation. And our Haftorah reminds us that our book doesn't just conclude with the exodus from Egypt. This offers a blueprint for understanding the future exiles of the Jewish people. If we truly study Sefer Shemos, we will come to understand the nature of the suffering in those future exiles as well. Following this, chapter 28 offers a more difficult and painful examination of the future troubles we will face. The prophet points out the spiritual weaknesses that will lead to our suffering, weaknesses that exist even in the highest levels of leadership. These leaders fail to guide the people in the right direction, contributing to the nation's downfall. And then, Haftorah skips to chapter 29, verses 21 and 22, to end on a beautiful, positive note of hope and redemption. Let us try to understand our Haftorah more deeply. Suffering. We all try to avoid it, and yet it seems to be an inevitable part of the human experience. The very first pasuk, Habaim Yashresh Yaakov, Yatzitz Ufarach Yisrael, Umal'u Pnei Sevel Tnuva. Mitzudas David and others insert the word Yamim in translating this verse. So, in the days to come, Yaakov will root itself, will blossom and flower, and the world will be filled with produce. But Rashi connects this verse 6 to our Parsha Shemos. Don't you see what I did the first time around? Habaim Yashresh Yaakov, those who arrived with Yaakov, have blossomed and flowered Yisrael. They have filled the world. We read the story of the slavery, the denigration and persecution, and it feels so cruelly and overwhelmingly destructive. And Hashem says, how you process your experience matters. Hakmakas makeu hikahu, you were not hit like they were hit. Yes, you suffered. And your oppressors will be punished, as the verses in our chapter will express. They will pay for all of their oppression, their inquisitions, their crusades, their holocaust, and their terrorism. But you, my children, understand that your story is not the same as theirs. In verse 1 and verse 12, the metaphor is planting, blossoming, harvesting. I know you are pounded into the ground, but understand that as you were being oppressed, you were forming deep roots, and through this hardship, you would eventually blossom. The story of slavery feels overwhelming to read, but Hashem reassures us that it was not in vain. Just as spring follows winter, the Jewish people would emerge from Egypt renewed, like the natural world that blossoms back to life after the cold season. In fact, when the Jewish people indeed walk out of Egypt, Moshe draws their attention to the fact that it is spring. Re'eh atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. See that you are leaving in the springtime. Do you see the blossoms? The natural world that has come to life after the winter cold made them look dead? This is your story. The slavery wasn't there to destroy you, but to build you. And Yeshayahu turns to us and says, and this is your story as well. Mitzrayim was only the first of so many difficult experiences, personal and national. In fact, Chazal teach us that the first word, Haba'im, is a hint to the four exiles, Beis for Bavel, Aleph for Edom, Yud for Yavan, and Mem for Madai. We don't read Sefer Shemos to understand our yesterday, our ancient history in Egypt, but to understand and process correctly the events of today. If we can understand the pain as the difficult but healing process it is, it becomes meaningful and hopeful, and it will lead you home. And in verse 12, how beautifully the Navi uses the imagery of us being carefully harvested and picked, echad echad, one by one, no one left behind. And verse 13, v'haya bayomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, it will be on that day, Hashem will blow this great shofar. In his Iyunim b'Haftorah, published about 15 years ago, Rabbi Avraham Rivlin offers a profound interpretation of the two exiles mentioned in the verse, Ashur and Mitzrayim. These exiles, he suggests, represent two very different forms of struggle. The exile of Mitzrayim reflects Mitzar, a state of constriction and oppression. This is the familiar exile of suffering and hardship, as experienced in Egypt. In contrast, the exile of Ashur represents a different kind of challenge, one of comfort and ease. While it may not seem oppressive on the surface, this exile is characterized by spiritual complacency, where the ease of life may lead to forgetfulness of one's true mission and distance from God. Rabbi Rivlin points out that this kind of exile can sometimes be even more difficult to separate from, as it disguises itself as comfort. Regardless of the nature of the exile, whether of oppression or comfort, this verse tells us that the shofar will blow, and we will hear its call. This metaphorical shofar, as Rashi and Radak explain, is not a sound merely to be heard with our ears, but a call to the heart. Just as the shofar in Rosh Hashanah awakens us spiritually, so too will this final shofar call awaken the Jewish people and bring them home, fulfilling the promise that began with the shofar at Sinai. What a beautiful and meaningful message this section of our Haftorah offers us as we begin Sefer Shemos. But if we are to understand suffering as meaningful and constructive healing, it also becomes necessary to look at what it is we need healing from. And this brings us to chapter 28. There are many prophecies that focus on the idol worship and sins that led to our downfall, but this chapter approaches it from a totally different perspective. There is a lot of focus on wine, on drunkenness, and in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Hoy ateres geus shikore Ephraim v'tzitz novel, tzvi sefarto asher al rosh geishmanim halume yayin. Oh, the proud crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is but wilted flowers, on their heads drenched with oil, who are overcome by wine. And as Rashi brings down the Gemara Shabbos, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Chamra de progisa umaya de diomseis kipchu aseres ashvatim Yisrael. Rabbi Chelbo says the wine of Pergisa and the water, the spas of Diomseis, that's what deprived Israel of the 10 tribes. Yeshayahu tells us to look deeper than the idol worship, than the act of turning away from Hashem. If you want to understand what destroyed you, it's oil and wine and spas. Being a servant of Hashem means being high-minded, being able to transcend your basic desires, not to be constrained by animalistic lusts. And as the Navi here focuses our attention on this obsession with hedonism, spas, and debauchery, the Chovos HaLevavos bemoans people who osim bitnehem Elohehem v'torasam malbushehem umusaram chizuk mishkanehem, make a god of their stomach, a Torah of their clothing, and their home into their highest ethics. When our pursuit of happiness begins to take over our consciousness and becomes our highest ideal, that is truly the moment when we have left Hashem. You are here for a higher purpose. Yes, Hashem says, I have put you into a beautiful world and I love for you to enjoy it and experience the pleasure of it. But that is not your life. You are my children. You are godly. I had something so much more sublime in mind for you than drunken pleasure and hedonism. Yeshayahu emphasizes that the real threat to our connection with Hashem lies not just in active rebellion, but in the passive surrender to the pleasures of the world that distract us from our higher purpose. When hedonism becomes the ultimate pursuit, it consumes you. It actually becomes a form of spiritual idolatry. When the pursuit of physical pleasure and comfort overshadows the deeper calling of being children of Hashem, it becomes clearly apparent that we need a reset. But Yeshayahu cries out, you are like babies, like young children. Am I speaking a different language? He offers salvation, the cure to your suffering, but you refuse to listen. In verse 10 and again in verse 13, the Navi repeats, Tzav l'tzav, tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, kav l'kav, ze'er sham, ze'er sham. Precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here, a little there. Rashi explains that because you have ignored my commands, you will now be forced to hear the commands of foreign armies and rulers. The pain of being a prophet like Yeshayahu is the deep sorrow of knowing that his warnings will be ignored. It is like a doctor watching a patient destroy their lungs with smoking, fully aware of the impending suffering, but unable to make the patient change. Yeshayahu understands that the people will endure immense pain as a result of their refusal to listen and change. Their suffering will be self-inflicted, all because they choose not to heed the warnings. But our Haftorah does not end here. After this painful chapter, we conclude with the beautiful verses in chapter 29. Verse 22, Lachain, ko amar Hashem al beis Yaakov asher pada es Avraham, lo ata yevosh Yaakov, v'lo ata panav yechavaru. And therefore, so says Hashem to the house of Jacob, who redeemed Avraham, no more shall Jacob be shamed, no longer his face grow pale. And kibir oso yiladav maaseya dai bikirbo, yakdishu shemi, v'hikdishu es kadosh Yaakov, v'es elokei Yisrael ya'aritsu. For when he, that is his progeny, behold what my hands have wrought in his midst, they will hallow my name, they will hallow the Holy One of Jacob, and stand in awe of the God of Yisrael. In the end, this education will bear fruit. Hashem's children will no longer need to feel shame for their choices. We will be true to ourselves and to the dreams He has for us. Hashem will look at us, His children, and say, yes, these are my children. They are Kedoshim. Their lives, the choices they make, the way they live, they are everything I had in mind for them. Finally, this global project, the human experience, will have achieved its goals. Success and fulfillment will have been realized. And with this perspective of Sefer Shemos and this beautiful Haftorah from Yeshayahu, as we look around us to our world today and also turn inward to look deeply within ourselves, we can draw so much direction, inspiration, and hope. This Haftorah teaches us that it is possible to find meaning in every experience, whether in times of Mitzrayim or Ashur. And it reminds us that it is possible to live meaningfully, even as we enjoy the pleasures of this world, that we can continue to bring ourselves forward and closer to our true home and our true selves. Thank you for studying together.